President, boy, fine, thank you.
I had an opinion when I was taking children up on the way. I was driving. Major traffic. Like I can't.
All right. Can we call this meeting to order? And Mary, can you call the roll, please?
Yes, sir. Mr. Grossman?
Here.
Mr. Stille?
Here.
Dr. Bryant?
Here.
Mr. Fetter?
Here.
Thank you. Mrs. Jenke?
Here.
Mrs. Plymail?
Here.
Thank you. Dr. Shaw?
Here.
Mrs. Blosser?
Here.
Mr. Adams?
Here.
Mr. Barber? Mr. Cohen?
Here.
Dr. Gupta? And Mr. Workman?
Here.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mary. The first item of the agenda is the approval of the minutes.
So moved.
We have a motion to approve. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. First, the only item on the agenda is the approval of the student government constitutional amendments. Dr. Brown.
Good evening.
Can you hear me? Yeah, we help this one. I'm pulling the plug. They do it to me all the time, Dr. Brown.
Turn the lights off now. No. It's on.
Nope.
Speak up.
I bet we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. One of the things, the only thing that we bring to the debate is the approval of the amendments to the student government constitution. As you know, about 2 years ago, we came to you with a revised student government constitution. And at that time, we explained to the board that we might come back to you with some amendments to the Constitution based on how the new Constitution worked out in terms of the procedures that we have drafted. We have gone through the initial process of ratifying these amendments that are spelled out in the Constitution. The first part of this was to have the student body to ratify the amendments. That was done. And in your background information, you have the results of the elections and the ballots in your background information. The last part of the ratification process is an approval of the board before we can enact these amendments. At this time, I would like A.B. Cohen to join me and walk you through the amendments. And these amendments are being done to enhance the overall operation of the student government. We had students involved in the process. We had each of the houses on the campuses involved in the process. We had the Senate involved in the process, and the student body ratified these amendments. Before AB starts to speak, I really would like to introduce to you, most of you have not met the person who's the director of student government. This was one of the positions that I asked you for when I first arrived here. Similar to all of the other state universities, we did not have a director of student government. Rivka Felcher. Rivka is the person who really is in the hole with the students every day, and I'll use that term because she really works with the students every day. The other person is Terry Mena, and Terry has worked very closely with me. But many of you remember Terry served as the interim dean of students without a pay raise. Usually we give people a 10% increase. Terry didn't get the 10%. So I owe him, and we do get money. But these are the two people who really work with us and work with the students, and AB will tell you they are really his go-to people in terms of the day-to-day operation of student government.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. You did say it best. They are my go-to people on a day, for the day-to-day operations. They helped out as much as they could with the amendments that were made in the Constitution, but it was primarily the Senate, the student Senate, that made it university-wide, with President of the Senate, who is Ed Fulton, who is our Vice President of Student Government. Very simple amendments were changed. It's only four of them. Number one being, and you can follow along in your packets if you'd like, number one being the date of installation. In the past, there was a date that would say March 7th is when the president was installed, but they didn't keep in mind runoff elections and such forth. So now you are, the date of your installation is when you are in office until the, you know, following date, the following year is the change for amendment number one. Number two is veto power now. For the veto power, you have 5 days, a limit of up to 5 days when it sits on your desk that you have to sign off if you're going to veto it. If not, the legislation is passed, because in the past there was, unfortunately, people that wouldn't pass it in time, but we need to keep the process moving. Number three was the student senate chose to give the student government president veto power over all legislation, and that's for to have a more collaborative relationship with the legislative branch, because if not, the executive branch and the legislative branch wouldn't be really doing anything together. And lastly, it's very simple, just the grammar and the punctuation and the spelling, minimal things that we had to do to make sure that the clarification of the Constitution were at its best. So all this was pretty much just to enhance the student experience and to better the clarification of the Constitution. With that being said, are there any questions?
Madam Chair, if there are no questions, at least at this point from the board, I'd like to take the opportunity to continue to, because I've done this before, commend President Cohen, commend Vice President Brown, and all of the great people who have been working collaboratively to create this Constitution. I will tell you, I believe that our Constitution is as good as any in the state university system, and therefore is as good as any across the country. It was an immensely time-consuming process. It meant an inordinate number of meetings and hours of meetings, writes and rewrites, and as you see tonight, still to make sure that we put a fine point on it, the ability to bring it back. The reason, by the way, we bring it to you is the only item that you have before you before we break for the holidays is by virtue of the upcoming student government elections in the spring, and wanted to make sure that being on this meeting will tee it up for the January approval, and then it will be fully in place and fully intact to take us on into those spring elections as a unified document. But I do want to thank everybody who's worked so very hard on this AB. All of your folks, Dr. Brown, you and all of your folks, have really worked the way it should be worked, which is collaboratively together to create a constitution that will serve everyone infinitely better in the future. And really thank you for it.
Thank you. And I can't say I'm lucky enough for Rick and Terry, because they really have been my go-to people. We've been up late at night working with the students. And I would just like to say that our student government process has really gotten better across all of the campuses. We have great leadership from the governors on the various campuses. AB and Ed have done a great job as the execs of the SBA. And they work very well with the staff. That doesn't mean we get along all the time. We have our differences. But I think it's done in a very civil way now, and we really appreciate that. Thank you.
Maybe I have a question on the jurisdiction. Just help me clarify this, because I was just talking to our attorney, and the original document, which
I
Careful
what you say, Amy.
So I'm not going to make up the answer. Right.
I'm just saying, be careful here.
Jurisdiction.
Under advice of counsel, a student is, by virtue of their enrollment in Florida Atlantic University, by their, we're not defining that by any hours they're carried?
I believe.
How do we define a student? No?
Any student.
And if they were carrying 3 hours?
Yes, correct.
So
but we have stipulations that they run for office.
Okay.
We have stipulations in terms of the number of hours they must have in order to run for office.
And a GPA requirement
and
as well.
A GPA requirement. In order to be president, a vice president, you have to have at least a 2.5 grade point average each semester and overall. In order to run for office, Terry told me, is 6 hours as a graduate student, 9 hours as an undergrad.
Correct.
We studied this very closely because of our distributive model We have many students on the part of campuses who are not carrying 12 hours. Most of our students who carry a full load on the bulk of campus. So we did not want to discriminate against those students who will not take the majority of their courses on the bulk of campus. So we do have hours in there. We have parameters in there. We have our parameters in there where we can really, really control and make sure that students who are involved in student government are matriculating toward a degree and not just here.
But we don't say that.
It's in the statutes.
It's in the statutes.
It's in the statutes. Yes, it's in the statutes. The statutes, remember, you gave me the authority to sign off on the statutes. But anything in the Constitution has to come back to you when you amend the Constitution. We wanted this to be a part of the Constitution, which makes it much more difficult for students to change. If you remember what went on, students were changing the statutes, and they even changed the Constitution. So as a part of that revision, we had your approval that any changes in the Constitution had to be made with final ratification from you. But in terms of the statutes, which are the day-to-day operating procedures, you gave me that authority to sign off on the president through me, or the president to me.
But as a voter, as part of the electorate, they have
any
to work. Go ahead.
Any student can vote.
Any student can
yes,
vote.
Yes, any student can vote. We have so many part-time. We wrestle with this when we revise the Constitution, because we really have to look at FAU as a whole. And look, we look at the number of hours that most of the students took at Pool St. Lucie, students took at Jupiter, students took at Boca. Boca and Jupiter had more students taking 12 or more hours than the other campuses. But we did not want to discriminate against those students who were not taking the number of hours that the Boca and Jupiter students were taking.
It's amazing what you remember, though, but I remember when we wrote the first one, and notwithstanding David Kian's comment a moment ago that it was written with charcoal in front of a fire. It really wasn't quite that long ago.
Parchment copy of
it. Yeah.
We don't need to give him additional. I knew I was opening up
Mr. Chairman, if I may, for the benefit of the rest of your board, you have in your presence today the author of the original student government constitution for the university. It was drafted in the year 1841.
Our own Tom Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson.
I'm so glad I asked this question.
It really bugs you that we're changing it, huh?
There's a lot of work in this.
But Trustee Grossman, the other thing that's important is that we wrote into the Constitution that was approved by you that it has to be reviewed every 5 years. So if there's a change in terms of number of hours that students are taking, we can address that in your statute. And we think that's going to change even more as we become more of a traditional college campus. But we have to keep in mind that we have partner campuses also, where we have a large number of students who are taking part-time, attending on a part-time basis.
Much easier at that time. There was one campus.
And 12 students.
Right. And everybody knew everybody, so there was no problem. All right, we're moving on.
We can stop, Armin. You control this.
Also, we do ask for your approval of these amendments to the Constitution.
Fortunately, I had some elder advice, and Tom was around, and I was able to provide it.
So, put while you're ahead. I'll move to approve
these. We have a motion to approve it, and a second discussion. Any further discussion?
Discussion.
Thank you, Doctor.
I think I remember a conversation sometime back, and help me, Dr. Brown. I think the GPA was at 2, and 2. We kind of talked about right. Wanting at least to be at 2.5. And I vaguely remember that we were, the model that was being floated at the time was University of Florida, which was at 2, I remember.
2.0. Most of the state schools were at a 2.0. We were the first school to raise the exact requirements.
Exactly.
2.5.
Exactly.
Some of the other schools followed us. Some are not at the 2.5, some are at the 2.3. But many of the schools followed us in terms of raising the requirements, GPA requirements.
I raise the comments, and I just want to give you a tremendous applause for getting this done, because this is significant in my opinion. so far as academics are concerned. As our president says, you know, we want to go higher and higher. I think this is this speaks volumes to get that to 2.5. And I want to commend you for that.
And your body, whoever's there. What has occurred out of this is, and Jerry can attest to this, we're seeing more and more of our traditional age students get involved on all of the campuses.
Correct.
And we didn't think that would happen, but we really are seeing that, and we're seeing more participation from the other SBAs in terms of events on this campus. We see more students come to our football games, our basketball games, and all of the events on this campus. And I have to give AB and Ed a lot of the credit because they've done, and the governors, they've done a great job of really pushing our students to become one university. And we can see that. And the staff has worked quite well together. The advisors on the partner campuses work with RIPCA. They meet on a regular basis, so we know what's going on. We meet with the students. It's not always an easy task, but we get the job done, and we let the students know student government belongs to them. We're here as advisors to guide them, to make the best decisions for all of our students. And we've seen a big change over the last year and a half.
Thank you, Gunn. Thank you. Any other comments? Well, we have a motion to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any other further business?
Madam Chair, our next regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Trustees then will take place on January
21st. January 21st.
So we wish everybody a happy and healthy holiday, and see you in Detroit or on ESPN, whichever comes first.
I just wanted to also comment, if I could. This is our last official meeting for this this year. And at the January 21st meeting, there will be elections for chair and vice chairman. Traditionally, the chair, whoever that may be, can appoint new chairman of each committee. So there's the possibility that chairs will change. With that in mind, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank everybody who has worked on all of the committees this past year, this past 2 years actually, and thank the chairman for the job that they've done this year. We really, really appreciate it. And I also want to add my best wishes for a great holiday for everybody. And I look forward to seeing you with the new year next year. Thank you.
Could I just say A.B. Cohen had to run to a class?
Yes.
His
final.
Please excuse me.
His final class.
Wow.
Could I say something?
Please.
I'm just asking for help for our students who need to go to the football game. Any donations that is put towards their trip would be greatly appreciated by them and their families. Even every $50 or $100 would really make a big difference. So I'm urging our trustees to put their hands in their pockets. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd also like to say something about the football game. I went on the website and looking at it, and there's ways to purchase your tickets. I would encourage everyone who may be thinking about it to purchase them through the university here as opposed to sending them to the ticket online or the bowl tickets, because that's where FAU gets credit for their ticket sales and money. So buy them here at home. Very important.
Thank you for that.
Frank, am I going to... do you know whether or not they will be letting us know what the procedure is if we wanted to attend or buy tickets? Will we all be notified about that?
Yeah, I can tell you now. The team, just as we did for the New Orleans Bowl, they're going to go up on a charter plane on the 23rd, and they will come back as though this is a regular football game the night of the 26th. So immediately after the bowl, they will shower, change, and that plane will come back. That's the way we do it ordinarily when we travel on the road. So we're doing that to save costs for hotel rooms, et cetera. As far as anyone else, what they're basically saying at this point, for the New Orleans Bowl, for example, they put together a charter. There were enough people who wanted to go and knew early enough that they put together a charter flight. The holiday season has, of course, complicated this. And so basically what they're telling people is they will help direct you to travel agencies, et cetera, to help you get the best flight reservations. They'll also work with you to block your hotel room, et cetera. But there, at this point, will not be a charter flight for supporters. So if you are interested in going, we can hook you up. The best thing to do is call Randy, and Randy will get you hooked up with the right people to see what the best flight arrangements will be. I know that Spirit flies direct to Detroit. Northwest flies direct to Detroit, and what, somebody told me Southwest has
not Airtran.
So there are some direct flights to Detroit, and it may be that what a lot of people are going to do is actually fly up on the morning of the 26th, go to the game, stay overnight, and fly back on the 27th. So, but that's up to each individual person's schedule and what they would like to do. But that is a possibility, as I understand.
Yeah. I booked my ticket already.
There you go. Living proof.
Gone up on Saturday or Friday morning, I guess, 26th, come back Saturday night.
Okay. There you go. So that is a possibility.
Weather permitted.
We're very excited about this, obviously. At 6-6, I can do the math for you. There were 74 bowl-eligible teams in the United States. Bowl-eligible meaning you have to be at minimum 6-6. By NCAA rule to be bowl eligible. All 7-5 and beyond teams automatically go to the any one of the 34 bowls that are out there. So now you do the math and you're down to only those remaining who are bowl eligible at 6-6 but aren't guaranteed a spot at 7-5. And we were one of those. Just in our own conference, four teams were bowl eligible. Troy, ourselves, Arkansas State and University of Louisiana Lafayette, and there are only two of us going to bowls. Troy won the conference, they go to the New Orleans Bowl by virtue of that fact automatically, as we did last year, and we were actually invited by the Motor City Bowl. They could have invited a number of us. San Jose State was eligible. There were about five or six teams that ended up bowl eligible without a spot, and after we were taken, there were still about five teams that are sadly not going to a bowl, and well, but they are bowl eligible.
Why do you think you
aren't? I will tell you exactly, because believe me, not only did everybody lobby, not just us, and our conference lobbied all of the bowls, our conference commissioner lobbied all of the available bowls for all of our conference teams, but the bottom line was we've got a head coach who is a legend and who has won five bowl games and it lost
TV.
None.
So
it's TV. We've got a gunslinger of a quarterback, and so does Central Michigan. They apparently have one too, and they like the idea of that dueling matchup there. So the good news is that we've arrived as a university that when this turns into a beauty contest, and it does sometimes, not often. Oftentimes, if you're 7-5, you're a lock. But sometimes it gets down to a beauty contest in some cases. And in this particular case, we go to the dance. So we're very proud of the fact that our program has escalated to the point where our visibility has become attractive, that in an all things being equal world, we got selected. And now our job is to go up there and represent well as a football team and as a school. And that's what we are intending to do.
Sell tickets.
Say again?
And sell tickets.
And sell tickets.
Last year, I believe it was Central Michigan and Purdue.
Correct. Right. The same team played Purdue and before 65,000 people lost to Purdue on the last second field goal. So they're a good team. They're a very good football team, and they've got a history. And believe me, this will be their home game. It's Central Michigan. So, you know, Central Michigan doesn't care if we sell any tickets. They'll have plenty of their folks in attendance. So it will be very much their home game. But the beauty is only game on the 26th of December. Yeah. One football game, that's it, and will be broadcast on ESPN nationally. So The fact that, again, we're playing football, but the fact that we're going to be playing for a national audience and Florida Atlantic University will get its share of visibility is a great thing for the whole school.
And therefore, dig deep in your pockets.
Commercial message. Dig deep. Okay.
Anything else?
All right.
Thank you.
I already paid my check.
I'm sorry.